the Lord had placed on my heart to begin a series on the voice of God, understanding his voice, discerning his voice. We have, there's five lessons. And the first one is this deal with the two voices of truth. Sounds odd, but there are two truths that the scripture talks about. The second one is identifying God's voice of truth. And the third lesson is choosing God's voice of truth. And the fourth one is the prophetic content of God's voice of truth. And it's the affirming voice of God. And today we are beginning with the two voices of truth. Amen? Well, there is a truth from above and there is a truth from earth. If you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, in verse 30. This is John the Baptist who's speaking. And John the Baptist, he's addressing a certain Jewish person that asks him about this. Who's this other dude that's baptizing? John, you baptize all the time. You got this other guy, Jesus. He's over there baptizing. And John says this in verse 30, he must become greater, I must become less. And so here we began to get an idea or introduction, if you will, about the two voices of truth. He goes on to say, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. So, who is he referring to when he says the one who's from above? Jesus. And who is he referring to when he says the one from the earth? Himself. When he says in verse 32, referring to the one from above, he says he testifies to what he has seen and heard. Now we're talking about being from above and seen and heard from that perspective. So Christ is from above, from the right hand of the Father. From that perspective, he sees all, he knows all. He's the only one from that perspective, and that's why the other half of verse 32 is true. But no one accepts his testimony. I mean, unless we have an eternal perspective, it'd be very difficult for us to embrace this testimony. And those who do embrace it, they only do so because God allowed them to see it. Hence, verse 33, the man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. He only can accept it because God revealed it to him. And so we're talking about two truths. And we need to put this in perspective because there's some things that all of us hear that are true about how to live in this life. But guess what? Most of them are lesser truths. For instance, if you all want to invest in the stock market and I can show you how you are guaranteed to make 15% on your $100 investment. But Dr. Brooks can show you how you can guarantee to make 80% off your investment. Both of us are telling the truth. Mine is just a lesser truth. You can't get as much out of what you have following my truth as you can get out of following Dr. Brooks's truth. So the issue is not, in this situation, is not which truth is right. It's which truth is greater. And so there are two truths. And that's why in life, the toughest decision is not good versus bad. It's best or better. That's the toughest decision. It was tough for the people in those days. They had to choose between John the Baptist and Jesus. And they tried to pit those two against each other. And John diffused it. He said, oh, I must decrease so he can increase. So he's greater. I'm the lesser truth. So even though what John said was true, It's a lesser truth than what Christ brought. And here's the reason why I say this. It's because there's some things that you know and you've heard that are true to life. They just can't take the future into consideration. They are truths of earth. There's some things about how to live in this life that are true, but they don't take your best success case scenario into consideration. God knows the future, knows what you can be. I might know what you can do to get a job for tomorrow. I can't take future into consideration when I give you advice. But when we follow God's word, it's from above. He takes into consideration future and when he gives advice in his word. If you ask me which mate you should choose, I can pick the person that impresses me the best. But God knows the one that's liable to beat you or cheat on you. I don't know that. So even though what I say might be true, the person might turn out to be a good person, that doesn't mean he's going to be good in all things. That doesn't mean he won't beat you. It just this means I made the best judgment with what I know. And that's what I want to talk about today when I say those two voices. John the Baptist reveals that the lesser truth is similar to the truth that he brought. What it is, it's a partial revelation about God. Now, it's true. It's something that perhaps the wisest person could know about the universe. The Einstein. There's some truths from Earth that Einstein identified. Those are just truths from Earth. We might give all kinds of accolades or esteem them very high, but it's just a truth from Earth. He concluded things about what he observed in nature as best as the wisest person could. There are truths about the laws of nature. There's truths about physics, truths about gravity. There are truths about human history and truths about the planet Earth. All these are truths from Earth, and they sound like this. What goes up must come down. That's true. It's limited to Earth. Or like my mom used to say, boy, come inside if you catch a cold. That's true. I stay out there. I don't catch a cold. That's a truth from Earth. The Earth orbits around the sun. That is true. No one can doubt that's a truth that's observable. God created the heavens and earth. That's true. Americans enslaved Africans in order to build this country. That's true. The square root of 36 is 6. These things are true. And sometimes we feel that when we know a lot of these kinds of things, that we're wise. But these are just truths from earth. And that's what we can be very impressed with a person, our own child even, or ourselves, who understands a lot of these truths, but at best, they are truths from earth. And these are called finite truths. And finite means something has a beginning or end. Or finite means it has a beginning and end, or it might mean it's limited. Everything I name, they either have a beginning or ending, or those are things from earth that the human mind can discern or comprehend. If we can comprehend it, that makes it fine. There are things beyond our comprehension, though. Those aren't truths from earth. We can't perceive the conceiving. So far, the only truth I talked about was the one that's similar to John the Baptist, the truth from earth. And many of us live our entire lifetime on these kinds of truth. Things that are true, but they are time bound. They don't take the future into consideration, and they don't take the past into consideration necessarily. They are limited. And they are the best decision the limitations of the human mind can make. And the sad thing is, many of us build a sense of pride because we have these truths. And I would call these finite truths. But let me go on to talk about the other truth. And this is a truth about God. This is the truth about God's kingdom. This is the truth about the universe and beyond. This is truth about nature and the truth about supernatural force. Now, nature, supernatural means supernature. It means above and beyond nature. So these are truths about nature and above and beyond nature. In other words, these are truths about the creation of gravity. These are truths about how air was made, stuff that we can't even comprehend. These are truths about eternity past and eternity future. These are the truths from above. When John says there's one from above and there is one from earth. And so this truth is called eternal truth. There's finite truth and there's eternal truth. Eternal truth comes from the perspective of knowing all things. In other words, you can make certain statements that are true because you know all things. You can tell a disciple to go to the lake and catch a fish, and that particular fish is going to have your tax payment in it because you know all things. You can tell someone to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River, their disease will be cleared. Because you know how things happen, you know how things work. These are truths that know not only how to call out, but what power to put in your voice to cause a dead person to rise up. These are truths that warn you not to turn right. Found later it was an accident. These are truths that tell you to break up with so-and-so. I mean, these are truths that take eternity past and eternity future into consideration. These are eternal truth. We're looking at Thanksgiving Day, so this is a good illustration. And I take for Marquise for years, I've been taking to the Thanksgiving Day parade. I didn't take Danica. Danica was eligible to go to last year, but the weather disqualified her. I think it disqualified me and Marquise too. But this year I'm looking forward to it. But we'll stand at a spot and we'll watch the floats go by and ooh and ah. But if we were on top of a skyscraper or in a helicopter and look down, we can see the first float and the last float. Finite truth is like seeing life one day at a time come by. One float at a time. A day is a float. We take it one at a time. That's finite truth. No, eternal truth is seeing the beginning of history and the end of history from above. And so when one with eternal truth make a statement, gives advice, it gives advice with the understanding of what the best life that you can have given how history has been and how history is going to be. This is the best advice. That doesn't mean you're going to be rich. It means that whatever that advice is going to be the best possible outcome that you can have in this earth. Now, what we can say, I don't want that kind of life. I want some other kind of life. Well, the other kind of life, it ain't going to give you the best outcome. That's why God didn't recommend it. When he looked at the beginning of history, the end of history, he sees what's going to work best for all of us. And so when we look in God's word and he tells us how we should live, how we should go about life, he's taking everything in consideration. Not only is he taking time in consideration, but he sees things that we can't see. He knows the heart of people. He knows what career is going to cause you stress and heartache and give you blood pressure. He already knows that. And so when we read our Bible and when it's talking about truth coming from God, it's always talking about eternal truth. It's always talking about eternal truth. When it talks about anything that God says, anything, thus saith the Lord, it's said from the perspective of eternal truth. It's not from the perspective of finite truth. And sometimes that's why some of the things that God asks us and what we read don't make sense, because we're trying to understand eternal truth by comparing it to what we know about finite truth. And it doesn't line up. That's why the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Matter of fact, that's why Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Because if we are going to lean on finite truth, it will not take things into consideration that God already knows. And that's why it's important for us to obey. Even if we don't understand, it's important for us to obey. Because God already took into consideration our best case scenario in saying what he said. And so it becomes a matter of trust and obey. Trust and obey. Because my understanding, I see something I want, I see how I can get it, and it's there. Oftentimes when you get it, you find out it didn't satisfy what you thought it was going to satisfy. Or you look at what you lost, sacrificed, or damaged trying to get it. Then you see it was never worth it. See, you've been played. You've been punked then. You strive to get something, and you sacrifice some very valuable stuff to get it. And once you got it, it didn't even do what you thought it was going to do for you. That's why a lot of rich folks kill themselves. So it's very important that we understand that whatever is said in this book has taken in consideration our best case scenario. So now that's how John the Baptist understood the truth about Jesus. Let's look at three of his other disciples and see what they have to say about him. Let's look at the Apostle John. Apostle John reveals that Jesus alone brought eternal truth into the world. That's what God revealed to Apostle John. First thing John does, John shows that truth, eternal truth, did not exist in the world simply because there have always been good and honest people in the world. So look through scripture, there was always good and honest people. But you can be good and honest with finite truth. That doesn't mean it takes our best interest in mind. Because I can be a real nice person. The deacon is the nicest person I know. He can't tell you what's going to happen to you tomorrow. So there's always been good, nice, and honest people in the world. That doesn't mean that truth has always been in the world. See what I'm saying? When I say truth, that doesn't mean that eternal truth has been in the world. When we look at John chapter 1, verse 17, we see that eternal truth had to be introduced into the world, had to be brought into the world. It's not something that's just here because nice people are here. And some of us think truth is always here. You know, the square root of 36 is 6. That's always been the case. The sun is always orbit around the sun. That truth always been there, so we get in our head that truth has always existed. But yes, finite truth has always existed. But not eternal truth has not always been revealed here on earth. Eternal truth has always existed. It had not always been revealed to us on earth. And John 1:17 said, for the law was given through Moses, the Ten Commandments, and the first five books of the Bible. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He was talking about eternal truth. There's the things about how best to live that the law didn't address. Ten Commandments don't address how best to live. Whereas Jesus' teaching did. One reason why, because Jesus, when he left this earth, he left the spirit of truth. He says that in John 14, 15, and 16. So whenever you read about truth and Jesus, again, it's referring to eternal truth. That's what he brought. See, because God is eternal, when he speaks, he can't help but to speak from his frame of reference. I mean, God will have to work hard to limit himself to finite truth. So whenever Jesus says something, whenever God says something, he's taking your future in consideration. He's taking your past in consideration. He's taking the heart of the people around you. He's taking what cannot be known by humans into consideration. He's taking much more into consideration than we can. So when he has said thus and so, it's not to ruin us. It's because it's a higher truth. It's a truth from above. It's a truth that sees the whole parade at once. So when we interpret what Jesus says, remember, he takes into consideration what we cannot know or what is yet to occur. See, that's very important. You read something in the Bible, oh man, I can't do that. What? Turn my other cheek. He takes into consideration what we cannot know or what's yet to occur. Because he knows to do otherwise will either corrupt somebody or corrupt us. He knows that. He doesn't have to explain that because he would have to explain how he knew it and how he has the ability to know it. And he ain't trying to get in all them details with the finite creatures. That's why he says, trust and obey. Now, the second thing John revealed that since this truth is prophetic, in other words, since this truth takes future things in consideration, whenever someone gives you advice that takes the future in consideration, they just made a prophetic statement. That means prophecy. That means forthtelling and foretelling. And so eternal truth is prophetic. It takes future things in consideration. It takes things that we cannot know into consideration. That makes it prophecy. So because it's prophetic, because it takes the future in consideration, it's our best case future. Because God is love. God is speaking our best case to us. And that's why Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What I say, things I'm giving you, these things are prophetic. These things take the future in consideration. These things are based on promises that my Father has made that are yet to come. And so if you're following me, you're going to make it to where God wants you. And that's why he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Because my Father sent me with this truth, and I'm giving it to you. And if you follow this truth, it will lead to the things that the Father wanted you to embrace. Finite truth won't do that. Finite truth makes you the best earth person you can be. And you still can go to hell with finite truth. And so we want to be more than the best earth person. But so that's the second thing that John reveals. Now, John also reveals that this truth allows us to see ourselves as God sees us. In John chapter 3, in verse 21, that's what John says. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So in other words, God's word being true, and when we understand God's word, understanding that's the light, we've come into the light in the sense that now we understand what God says how to live. We can see how we actually live in light of what God says, and we can conclude whether or not we've done right or wrong, and we also conclude that whatever it is that we've done, it was done in the sight of God. And so that's an important thing about this truth. It reveals to us the virtue of our talk, our language. Some of us curse a lot. Whether you're around a believer or not, you curse a lot. It says, so it can be plainly seen that what was done inside of God. God heard it. You don't care that I heard it? Someone's lie, steal, or murder. God sees it all. Whether you got away with it or not is not the issue. The issue is there's this eternal truth that when we open up and see, now, if we choose not to open up and see, God knows that we had opportunity to and we chose not to do it. And so that means something to him too, because he sent this to us. And so we are to examine ourselves in light of his truth and know that what we have done inside of God. Now, the question is this. Does it bother you that God see what you've done? To some, it don't even bother you. You're not even convicted about the wrong that you have done, knowing that God's seen it. Not only that, but you're not even seeking pastoral counseling because you're not even convicted by the wrong that you've done. My friends, that's what an atheist is. God doesn't look at what you say to determine whether you're a believer or not. God looks at your heart and what you do. If you do wrong, that's one thing. God simply says, confess, I'll forgive. But if you do wrong, and it doesn't even bother you to confess, and the fact that it doesn't bother you to confess doesn't concern you enough to go to a counselor and say, you know, I don't even feel sensitive that I'm doing this stuff against God. This isn't, then you need to see whether you're in the faith or not. You may not even be in the faith. And so that's a role of eternal truth. Finite truth can't do that. Eternal truth can do that. Also, the Apostle Paul reveals the goal of eternal truth. He reveals that two things. One, eternal truth is reliable. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 16, it says this, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He's telling that the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. The Scriptures are able to lead you to be saved. They're reliable. If you want to establish a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Scriptures can lead you to that. They're reliable. He also lets us know that another goal of Scripture is that it makes us a wiser child, a wiser teen, a wiser man, or a wiser woman. The next verse, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed, meaning came out of him, and is useful for teaching, rebuking is showing somebody where they went wrong, correcting is showing, okay, how to correct the wrong, and training in righteousness. He said, all Scripture is useful for that. So all Scripture can make us wiser. The Scripture exists to teach us the right way. You know, it's like, for instance, you give someone directions to Nicky D's up there a mile, and they call your cell phone and say they were lost. And you said, okay, now I gave you the directions. I told you to head north under Sherwood, and when you got to 8 Mile, to go west until you hit Mountain Road, and up ahead, you will see Nicky D's. Now, that's teaching. Rebuking would be, okay, now where'd you go? I went down south under Sherwood. Now, see, that's where you went wrong. That's rebuking. You went wrong. Just simply showing a person where they went. You went wrong. You wasn't supposed to go south on the Sherwood. Rebuking is just telling them that, you know, you weren't supposed to go south. Correction is you were supposed to go north on Sherwood. So you already did the teaching. Now, correcting is just show, you know, just telling them, okay, you were supposed to go north, then go west on 8 Mile. Okay, I'm going to repeat it again. Go north on the Sherwood to 8 Mile. You get to 8 Mile, go west on the 8 Mile till you reach Mile. Up ahead, you will see Nicky D's. Now, going back over the second time was training in righteousness. He said the Word of God is useful for doing that with us on everything in life. And so there is some instruction of how to handle any situation we are in. Now, you may not be able to get the specifics in your particular situation, but there's enough instructions to follow where the specifics will become apparent. Once we open up our heart and desire to hear what God has to say, He'll make the specifics available to us. But first, we have to be willing to obey. That's how we have to respond. Now, I'm saying all this is because all this is a precondition for identifying the voice of God, okay? Because if I don't go over this, you might be looking for God's voice to sound more like finite truth than eternal truth. So what I'm trying to make sure now, you understand the right ring of God's voice. Now Peter, Apostle Peter, reveals that eternal truth was used to create our Bible. And that's what he says, that the Bible was man writing down God's word. The Bible is not man writing down his own words. People always say that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. It says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Now, this has been in the Bible for over 2,000 years, okay? For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so this eternal truth was used to create the very Bible that you have. Just because you see Peter, Paul, or John on it, it tells us that they wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It tells us that they did not write their own interpretation of things. They wrote as God, as the Holy Spirit led them. And so when you read what's in there, don't let anybody tell you, well, a man wrote that. You ain't got to follow that. That wasn't God. Anybody that says that, what they're trying to do is take you away from your strength, take you away from your source of power, and then they can do what they want with you. They can get you to believe anything. But they know as long as you believe in this, they can't touch you. And so Peter reveals that eternal truth was used to create our own Bible. So the question becomes, how can we recognize God's voice of eternal truth when we hear it? That's our next lesson. But what I wanted to do today is give you the ring of God's voice so that you have a good sense for it. When you hear something, advice from someone that sounds like it's limited to earth, then you know that God has a greater truth over above that. God has something that can supersede that. I always give the illustration about gravity, how the law of aerodynamics, the law of thrust and lift allows a plane to override gravity. Gravity doesn't go away, but the law of thrust and lift overrides gravity. So that's a higher power than gravity. It doesn't go away. Finite truth doesn't go away. It's just that eternal truth override finite truth. The finite truth might be, I got fired today. The eternal truth is that God provides. And so when people give you advice, you really have to hone your ear. Does this sound like something that's limited to earth? It's just true to earth? Or this takes eternity, takes my future into consideration? Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word of truth, Lord. Father, for just helping us gain a better sense for the ring of your voice, Lord.